Hello! Welcome back to the Kings and Queens, the Everything in Between. It's another episode of the Peasant Party Podcast. It's Friday, and I'm your host, Charlotte Warren. And I'm just going to turn it right over to the gentleman on my right. George, you want to say what's up?
Hey, how's it going? Hello, thank you so much for having me.
George, who are you?
I'm a guy, a normal guy. I'm a comedian. I live in Los Angeles. I kind of started in Chicago. We met through TikTok.
Yes.
You were one of my first mutuals.
Yes.
You have since exploded.
As of you.
Yeah, but, you know, I pale in comparison. Not that there is comparison, but yeah, I'm here to do a show, and you were nice enough to have me on. I'm excited to hop in.
Absolutely. And I love doing that. I love when people are, you know, here on a tour of sorts, or you're visiting Austin for a really cool reason, and it's just a great opportunity to get great, freaking fantastic guests.
Yeah. I almost asked if I could come on, but I'm glad that you
never be shy about asking.
Took away the pressure.
I'm always like, I'm always on a hunt for good guests, and I think you're going to be a great guest. Just
hopefully,
right? The perfect personality. So I'll say what I know about you. So
yeah,
George Owens is not like you are on TikTok and you're successful at it, and you are very funny. You're a great actor. You do some great skits, but his career expands much further than TikTok and Instagram. You are a career actor, comedian, artist, writer.
Yeah.
Among many other things. Like, you're insanely talented.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, my background is like stage comedy. So TikTok and Instagram, it's very nice of you to say that, because I feel like I'm very bad at it. It's like, I don't get it. I don't think I translate well. Like my background is sketch and improv. I was born in Oklahoma, but I kind of cut my comedy teeth in Chicago. I work for a theater there called Second City.
And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
This guy's a big deal.
It was, well, yeah. I mean, it was, I loved it. It was great. It was like my dream to work there since I was like 15. So like, to have that become a reality in my 20s was insane.
I love that. Yeah. And you're here to do, you have a show tonight. I'm so excited to go, by the way.
You have a show tonight.
It is a one-man show.
It is.
At the Cold Town Theater.
Yep.
What's the show called? Give us like the high level rundown.
The show is called Holy Shit I Lived. And basically I have had a handful of near-death experiences that I feel relatively apathetic about. And so the show kind of asks the question, does my apathy towards my own mortality lead me to being mistreated by the people around me? Because like, if you don't care if you live or die, like how could you possibly care how you're treated?
That's so deep.
It is very deep. And that truly is just like a foot in the door. And it's about more than that. And one complaint, just full transparency, that I've heard about the show is that we don't actually talk about the near death experiences that much. But it's really kind of classic one man show vibes. Talk about my family and love and mental health and that sort of thing. So yeah.
Nice. And so, cause in the clips I've seen, you know, it looks like it's going to be a very funny show. What is the difference between a one man show and a stand up comedy set?
Yeah. So my show is a mix of sketch and improv and stand up and characters. So a one man show, I think more traditionally has like more of an overarching theme or arc to it. And kind of sometimes, gets into more dramatic or heavy themes, as opposed to like a stand-up set, which is like, how many laughs can we get in an hour? Which I know a lot of stand-ups, they're insane in a good way. Like, they're so talented. And also insane in a bad way sometimes. But so the difference being is just like a one-man show is more like theater adjacent, I think, where a stand-up is like just comedy, straight comedy.
Nice. Okay, that's good to know. And how many cities has your show gone to so far?
How many cities so far? This is our fourth city and maybe like 40th time doing the show.
Nice. And the big news it got, so the Edinburgh Festival got 5 stars.
It did. It got a review at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. I am gonna correct you, but only because I absolutely got crucified for this, because I said Edinburgh. And it's Edinburgh.
Edinburgh, okay.
I'm so bad at reading. I'm the same way. And I did like a show right before, and I was like, oh, I'm going to this Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and the comments were like, don't ever come to our city and say it like that.
Wow. How was that? Like, was that the first time you like performed it in front of an audience?
So I did 2 previews in LA while I was writing the show to kind of like help craft the show. We did like 2, it's called a running order. So it's like a list of like stories and sketches and bits and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so we were crafting the running order. And so we did a preview and then we changed the running order and we did another preview. And then we used that information to decide what was going to be in the final show for the Fringe Festival. It had been a dream of mine to do the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. And I was kind of like, well, I'm single. I don't have any kids. Like, mm-hmm. now is probably the time. So wrote on the show for a couple of years. And then, cause I had to like conceive it and then write mm-hmm. it and all that stuff. And then was fortunate enough to get into the festival. And yeah, was again, fortunate enough to get a review, which is not, I learned so much. Like, I didn't know that you're supposed to have like a PR person. Mm-hmm. So I just like went, right. Yeah. I just went with my show and like a week before someone's like, who's your PR agency? And I was like, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to have a PR agency, but I got enough word of mouth or someone heard about it. And this guy came to review the show and he was nice enough to give it 5 stars. So
awesome.
Yeah.
What, anything stand out from his review that would tease the show tonight?
This is his words, not mine. He called it a masterclass of life performance, which I think
okay, cool.
is a very nice and please lower your expectations.
I think anyone who gets on a stage is insanely like it's so notch above anything I could do. So everything is talented. If people get on a stage,
it's fun. It's a fun show. It deals with some heavy stuff and, mm-hmm. But I do have a good time doing it, which I think is important.
Yeah.
Funny story about basically, like, at the Fringe Festival, you have to get up every morning and, like, it's called flyering. You, like, go up to people and you're like, hey, are you looking for a show tonight? And you, like, just hard pitch them your show. And so every morning I would wake up with no tickets sold because that's kind of how it goes. And I'd be like, great, I got to go get a couple people. And there were a couple days where you get to the theater 15 minutes before the show, you still haven't sold any tickets and you're like, maybe I'm going to cancel a show. Maybe I'm not going to cancel a show. I was fortunate enough to never have to cancel a show. But on one of these days where I didn't have any tickets sold, I was having my like pre-show Diet Coke Ooh. In the lobby of the theater. And there's this guy sitting next to me and he's like, hey, do you have a flyer for your show? And I was like, yeah, of course. And I gave him a flyer and he's like, hey, I'm here to review you. And we have no tickets sold. And I'm like, oh, well, hey, I really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much. I'm going to go get ready. And I like went in the theater and I was like, I'm so fucked. But fortunately we had like, the theater was nice enough to put the word out that there was a reviewer there and that plus the flyering, we had a decent audience that showed up kind of last minute, but it was like, why did you tell me that?
Yeah.
Why would you tell me you're here to review me?
But, did it make it better or worse that you knew?
Oh, worse.
Okay.
Way worse. And actually, I thought I had bombed. Like, my brother came in for a couple days to see the show and hang out in Scotland and that sort of thing. And we finished the show and I was like backstage. I think I was like laying on the ground and I was like, I can't believe I just fucking blew that so hard. And he was like, what are you talking about? Like, he liked it, I promise. And I was like, you know, you work in finance, you don't understand these things. And then we ended up getting a good review, but yeah.
I feel like we're all our own worst critics. Like all this stuff, like if you're a performer and you have an audience of people who are not, like everything is, like they will not notice anything.
Totally. And yes, so fair. I think the thing that I was so frustrated by is I couldn't get out of my own way. Like I was like, between every piece in the dark, as I'm like setting up for the next thing, I'd be like, fucking relax, like have fun, you know, which is like the opposite of what you should do. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Have you felt like you've gotten a different response as you've taken your show to different totally. Cities or like, is there any city that responds totally. A certain way to the show that's like, that's more interesting or unique than others?
Yeah. There was a joke in the show that played really well in LA and then never once played in Edinburgh. Like I did it 21 times in 23 days or something like that. And it was like 17 shows in a row. It didn't get a laugh. And then on the 18th show, it fucking crushed. And I wanted to be like, time out. Why? Tell me why. Explain to me why this is working. But you can't, you just keep working.
Yeah.
In the show.
Is it like in US cities? Like, has it been working? Is it probably just like a Scottish?
It's like, yeah, it was like
a European thing.
A movie reference.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So I kind of expected it not to play. The thing that was weird was that one day it just like, absolutely demolished and I didn't understand why.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But so I toured for Second City as well. And so that was always interesting to be like, to have a show that you knew worked and then, but then you take it to like a small town in Kansas where they're like more conservative and have it just bomb. And they think the show is bad, but you're like, this is a good show.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so interesting, like audience response. And yeah. Does your show tonight involve audience participation?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. I guess to zoom back at your whole career, cause I'm super excited for the show and I want to make sure we're like promoting the show and the tour. But I want to talk about how you got into your career. Cause you're from Tulsa.
I'm from Tulsa. Yeah.
There's, you know, I don't know that there's any like major theaters in Tulsa.
Sure, no.
I did watch Tulsa King.
Oh, nice. Filmed in Kansas.
Wasn't even filmed in Tulsa. Yeah. What is your story? Like, how did you, I've read as much as I could find and I feel like I have to hear it from you because I feel like there's a little bit of mystery there.
Oh yeah. I mean, not great at self-promotion for sure. Yeah, I mean, it was like one of those things where I just was like always doing funny voices and stuff as a kid. And my parents kind of eventually were like, maybe you should try being in a play. Mm. And so I was in a play in fifth grade and it kind of clicked for me a little bit. And then I kind of continued to, I had like a pretty normal childhood. Like I played sports and that sort of thing, but I was always also kind of on the side do these plays. And then my aunt, like they, Second City ran like an ad in my local paper for like a kids camp. And so my aunt like cut it out and gave it to me and was like, you should do this. And, and was nice enough. It was a 2-week camp in Chicago. Ooh. And she was like, I'll go with you and we'll like stay in a hotel. And so she took me up to Chicago and we stayed, it was like a summer camp. And it was my first time doing improv and learning about sketch and that sort of thing. And I was like, oh man, this is going to be it for me. So then when it came time for me to apply to colleges, I just, mm-hmm. mostly applied to schools in Chicago and then got into Loyola and immediately started taking classes at Second City and then got hired after college and that sort of thing. So truly like just one inch at a time.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Like I think it's just the coolest thing when people like really follow their dreams and stuff. Like I have a day job. I'm like, I'm such a fucking sellout. I'm like,
no.
I gotta like,
oh my God, I would never fault anyone for having healthcare.
I need that safety net. Cause I'm like, I'm going to get hit in the head with a rock soon enough.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
but you are creative and you have like such a cool spin on like the dating TikTok. Like it's, you have such a great format. So,
well, thank you. Yeah. It's a fun thing. And I that's what I love about like kind of the modern era. Like I think a lot of people are kind of like, oh, like social media and everything's ruined everything. And it all has its flaws. But I do like that people have the freedom to pursue their passions on the side of, you know, staying employed and stuff like that. Like I think what's been so great about TikTok is just seeing, you know, people that, you know, maybe would have never had the opportunity to travel 100%. To audition in LA, New York and stuff. And they're getting noticed because they're making skits or they're doing something really cool. And I love that. Like people like in just an industry that, you know, has, you know, quite a bit of like nepotism and favoritism and stuff like that. It's just, I think it's really cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It's interesting. I think it's a double-edged sword. You know, mm-hmm. I think for people like me, and this doesn't bother me, I think TikTok is great, but there is this thing that's happening or has happened where someone with like 500,000 Instagram followers or something is getting like big theater opportunities, but has never cut their teeth on the stage. And then they're going up there thinking that like doing like stand up is the same as filming a TikTok video. And they unfortunately bomb.
No, that's the other side of the coin. Or it's comedian that is, you know, big crowd work TikTok clips, and then people go to see the full show and they're like, you know, they were great for a minute. Can they do 50 minutes?
Right. Totally. Yeah. The Matt Rife story.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, like just people where it's like the 500,000 followers, it's, and, you know, why did this person get a role and stuff like that versus the person who's like, you know, very trained, has been working their whole life. So I think, yeah, like there's double-edged sword.
There's
going to
be good and bad aspects of everything. And I don't mean to fault the comedians who have incredible followings. I would love more Instagram followers, please.
Follow him, yes.
It's just an interesting thing to think about, you know, mm-hmm. being like, it's the industry is so weird right now, and it seemingly will be weird for the rest of time. So it's just, yeah, it's interesting.
Awesome. And when you were in college, did you major in theater or did you have...
No, I started as a theater major, but then I actually switched to marketing.
Nice.
And got a marketing degree and have never used it.
I mean, you're not bad at marketing. I think you've got great clips. You've got a great, you know, engaging account that shows like what you're about. Like,
thank you.
It's a good account. Like, you're good at it.
The thing I struggle with most on social media is just like consistency.
Yeah.
It's just like if I get busy, it's the first thing to go.
Yeah. You could hire like some like Fiverr kid just for like $20 a day or something. But yeah, you'll have some clips out of this that'll save you some time. And then, okay, so you, while you were in college, you worked with Second City, you were performing.
I was in their training center, and then I was also doing, like, I was on a college improv team.
Nice.
Yeah.
What is the process for getting into Second City? Because they have classes, and then obviously there's the theater troupe. They don't let just anybody do that.
Totally.
What's that like?
It's a process for sure. For me, I took a very traditional route in which I was like, I was educated by them on how to do their style of comedy. And then I just auditioned enough to get noticed, but other people will just like put on a really good show in Chicago and get noticed. And, you know, so there is no one path. Mm-hmm. And I also think that because of things like TikTok and Instagram, Second City is becoming less of a necessity for like a comedian who wants to do something, you know? So if you want to work for Second City, I think it's great. But if you want to do your own thing, like if you want to be a stand-up, I think that's like Caleb Huron, for example, who's an incredible comedian and is blowing up, was kind of involved in Second City. He was like shortlisted and an understudy and that sort of thing. And then he kind of, I think, and I don't know, we haven't talked about it, but like realized he didn't fully need them and moved to LA and has never looked back. Right. So it's a great place. I loved my time there, but it is not as necessary as it once was.
No, absolutely. And there's also like UCB and a few other groups. Like what stands out about Second City? Like what, among, you know, a lot of other, you know, very well-known theater group. Like what do we call, what's the best thing to call it?
Yeah. Troops.
Theater troupe. Yeah.
Yeah. Comedy troupes or comedy improv theaters. I haven't trained at UCB or Groundlings, which are the kind of the other two institutions. And then there's also IO in Chicago, and that's just like a house of long form improv. I think one thing that I like about Chicago style specifically is that it's of improv. We're talking improv now. Chicago style of improv is very like relationship focused, whereas like UCB is all about the game of a scene and Groundlings is about like big characters. So I think Chicago's style of improv gives people a really good base of like how to improvise well in a scene and sustain a scene and then use that as a tool for like writing material. Whereas like UCB is very beneficial if you want to be in like a TV writer's room, because it's all about like, how do we find the joke of this scene and then just run it to death, for lack of a better term. I think, yeah, that's the big differentiation for me is like, just style of, but I think anyone who's like, this style is the style is wrong. And they're all like tools that you should put on your comedy belt.
Oh, absolutely. And when you would tour with Second City, like what types of shows were you in? What types of roles did you play? How many people were you with?
So we would tour, there were six cast members and then there was a stage manager and a musical director. And we would run like just a classic sketch show, 2-act sketch show. A mix of what are called archive scenes, which are scenes written by like alumni like Tina Fey and Steve Carell and that sort of thing. And then our own original material mixed with some improv. So, I mean, I would play all kinds of characters. I played a lot of like the straight man, you know, because that's how my look. But then as I got more senior in the ranks, I was able to like pitch weirder characters, which are like kind of what I prefer to play.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, it was always interesting and there were so many times where gigs went great. And then there were also times where gigs were like insane. We did this show in Miami at like 12 on a Thursday, like noon. And it was in this ballroom and there were floor to ceiling windows. And if you've ever seen a sketch show, there's a blackout in between each sketch. So you can like set up for the next sketch. But because the windows were open, it would be like we would black out and then they would just see us move around the stage. But we were performing at a fundraiser for pediatric cancer, which is tough. And so like right before we went on stage, they played this video of like all these kids who had cancer, which I'm not making fun of kids with cancer, obviously.
Sorry, I'm trying not to laugh. I don't know why.
You can laugh. Sorry. It was an insane situation. So it was all these kids who had been cured of pediatric cancer. And then it was like the video ended and they were like, and welcome to the stage, Second City. And we came up and we bombed. We absolutely bombed. And there was a woman in an electric wheelchair, like an elderly woman who had scooted herself to right in front of the stage and then fallen asleep. And so she was like, we're bombing. She's asleep in front of the stage. And then she wakes up and like, I don't know, got startled or something and drove her electric scooter into the music director and knocked the keyboard over. So, and then just like zipped away. But, you know, the keyboard was on. So he was like hitting the keys as he was trying to pick the keyboard up.
I mean, that's comedic timing.
It was incredible. Yeah. And then we like got off stage. We had to walk through the audience as they ate their lunch after bombing. And the MC came up and was like, comedy folks, it's hard. And it was like, it was brutal.
We're like cancer kids there.
It was like they were trying to raise money for research and that sort of thing. Okay, so they were
rich people and you know, no cancer kids.
Yeah.
That's good. And you've gone kind of like beyond you know, stage performance, improv. Like I know you've got some TV credits and whatnot. Like how have you know, other mediums like worked for you, or like any you know, what's that been like?
It's been a learning curve for me. I mean, just like fully transparent. I love it. I like being on camera, but I have like well surpassed my 10,000 hours on stage. And I'm like, I've got maybe like 14 in front of the camera. So it's just a different thing. And, but it's been great. I mean, probably the coolest one I've gotten to do is a couple of years ago, I flew to Malta and I was in like a movie with, like actual, like genuine people in it. And I mean, not that I'm like, people recognizable names, and that should be coming out in a couple months here. So that was cool. And like, what an experience. And
That's awesome. I mean, it sounds like you have a lot of experience with like making dark things funny from what it's everything I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Like I mean, dark comedy.
Yeah. Like, I mean, my show does touch on some dark stuff. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Nice. How do you do that? Cause I feel like that is a hard thing to do.
Yeah, we haven't seen the show yet, so maybe I don't. But I think for me, there were a lot of versions of where you would write something and then you'd go to put it up and you'd do it at like an open mic and you'd be like, okay, too dark. Mm-hmm. Like too dark. We got to take this part out and this part out. And then you do it again and you're like, okay, cool. That was like, that felt better. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was always just focusing on like, first and foremost, the show needs to be funny. And then I can like talk about the themes that I want to talk about.
Totally. You
know, but at the end of the day, the show has to be funny.
Totally.
So,
and I feel like, and this will kind of go into like how people present themselves on dating apps. What is the line between, you know, being funny and self-deprecating and self-aware versus just being a sad sack or pointing out a flaw that someone wouldn't have otherwise known? Like, how do you toe that line? Cause I feel like some people say they went on a date and then just this person was depressing. They were negative. But then other times it's like, you know, he laughed at himself and it was funny. Like, how do you find that balance?
That's a great question. I would consider myself self-deprecating. And I just honestly, and this is such a bad non-answer, but I just think it matters if you're funny or not. Mm-hmm. Like if you are self-deprecating and funny, it's funny. And if you're self-deprecating and not funny, it's sad.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it is, I think funny self-deprecation comes from a place of confidence. Mm-hmm. And sad self-deprecation comes from a place of sadness. And that's not always true. Like Chris Farley was famously self-deprecating and also really struggled with his mental health. But I think like, I would like to think that my self-deprecation comes from a place of like, this is an aspect of about me that is weird and I think is funny, you know?
No, absolutely. And cause I think on dating apps, like on dates, like you'll see people that are trying to be funny and it doesn't land. And I think that's something like people talk about a lot. Like, you know, maybe they're trying to be funny. Maybe they're not naturally funny, or maybe they think they are. Like, I think a lot of that probably stems from lack of self-awareness.
Totally.
How do you save yourself? Okay. If you're on a date, dating app, you tell a joke that's clearly not landing. How do you save yourself? And that's obviously going to exist on a spectrum because there are a lot of different jokes. Sometimes the person across from you doesn't have a good sense of humor.
That would be my first thing to be like, I know from data in that I am a funny person. So if I'm being funny and I have a good gauge for what is funny, if I'm being funny and this person isn't laughing, maybe they don't have a great sense of humor and, or we just don't, our senses of humor don't gel. I think that can be a crutch for some people who are not funny when they're like, I'm going to tell like super insane jokes. And it's like, we just don't have the same sense of humor. And it's like, no, you're weird and not funny.
Yeah.
But I feel like usually if I tell a joke and it doesn't land, my response is to like double down in a way, or like call them out in a fun way. Like if like I made a joke about like, I don't know, quesadillas, this is such a bad example, but if I made a joke about quesadillas and they didn't laugh, I would be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like I didn't understand that you, you know, were like such an intense quesadilla lover or something like that.
Yeah.
Just to like try and cut the tension and be like my like claim responsibility for the joke not landing, but also double like go for another joke.
Got it. And okay, so because I feel like something else you would see people put on dating apps, they want a good flirt to roast ratio.
Yes.
That's very cliche. Like I would also just be wary of anyone who puts cliches.
Yeah.
What is kind of like, when can you start roasting people and pushing right. buttons in a way that isn't negging and totally. You know, mean spirited? How do you do, what's the right way to do that?
Gosh, I don't know. Cause I'm that bothers me. Mm-hmm. There are like a couple things on dating apps that bother me. That is one of them. Because I think a lot of times mean people use it as an opportunity to be like, I'm just roasting you. And it's like, no, you're a dick.
Yeah.
Like you're just bullying this person. I think all of that, and this is going to maybe not be the right word, but I think it has, like roasting comes from a place of love. Mm-hmm. Where like, so if it doesn't come from a place of love or admiration or affection, then that's where you draw the line. So it's like, I roast my friends.
Because you like them.
I would die for my friends.
Yeah.
You know, so if it's like date one and you're like really clicking, mm-hmm. feel free to roast, mm-hmm. but it has to come from a place of positivity. Mm-hmm. But if I'm on a date and someone like roasted me right away, I'd be like, all right.
Yeah. We're a little familiar here.
Yeah. Like I don't know you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, I went on a date the other day and I think we kind of lightly roasted each other, but we were having like a great time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And so do you ever get like the inverse of that? Because I feel like I hear from like performers or comedians where it's like the people are trying really hard to impress them or be funny. Sure. And it's kind of like, you know, I don't care for that. Do you get like people trying to like be a little too funny to you? And it's kind of like, let's not, or
maybe. Yeah. I actually hide that I'm a comedian. I don't put it on my dating profiles because for two reasons, I think that like justifiably so, people are wary to date comedians because a lot of us are unwell. Mm-hmm. And then I also want to avoid someone like kind of doing stand up to me.
Yeah, turning your date into an audition.
Yeah. And it's also, fun to reveal on the date or whatever. And I also feel like if you put it, then there's a pressure to be funny. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, I am off, right? Yeah. I'm like not at work.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get to know you. And I am maybe funnier than the average person, but like,
yeah,
I'm not on right now.
Yeah. Have you gotten like, tell me a joke, like, oh, I'm funnier than you, like those sorts of things?
Never on a date, but a lot of times people, especially like Uber drivers or something, will be like, tell me a joke. And it's like, it doesn't really work that way. It's also, we don't ask any other profession to do that.
Yeah. Like, you're not like, oh, hey doctor, like fix my leg.
Yeah. Is this bump contagious or whatever?
Yeah.
So I think, roasting has to come from a place of like positivity.
Absolutely. You know. Yeah. No, for sure. And where was my next question?
Here's one that really bothers me. When people want good banter, anytime someone says they want good banter, it's like they have the personality of a turkey in Swiss.
Yeah. It it's too crazy. Forced.
It's like, too forced. What do you mean you want just, good banter?
Banter's banter. Banter's like it's banter. It's a good back and forth conversation that's happening naturally. That is banter.
Yeah.
Like naturally. And oh my gosh. What are other dating app cliches and what do they say about people? Cause I don't know what women's profiles look like though. When I would show friends like back in the day, like it was kind of like, oh, our profiles kind of do look the same. We never like conspired ahead of time, but it's like, we are all kind of saying the same things. And I felt that way when I would see guy profiles. I'm like,
we are all the same.
Are they meeting? Are they having secret meetings and stuff? Like
totally.
I don't know. It's interesting, but cliches you're seeing, what do they say about people? Favorites, least favorites, what works, what doesn't? Just give me the whole spiel.
I am not good at dating apps. I just want to say that before I say what I'm about to say, I'm bad at them. And I've actually, the date that I just had was a first date, and it was maybe the first time I'd ever gone on a really good date from a dating app. But what do I look for? I look for like kind eyes. Mm-hmm. I feel like I look for that. And things that I think are bad are people who are like too forcey, who it's like, this is what I'm looking for. And if you don't do that, then fuck you. And it's like, great. If you, I mean, at least you're honest about it, I guess. But like, that is a huge turnoff to me because it's just like, okay.
Well. Yeah.
Like I saw one, this was crazy. I saw one on a dating app like last week that was like opening line. Am I allowed to, is this a dirty podcast?
You can say whatever. We're past the first 10 minutes anyway, too.
So. Opening line. I'm looking for someone whose face I can sit on. I'm abstinent. It's my business, not yours. And I don't want any vaccinated liberal cucks. And it was like, what a whirlwind of information.
That feels like someone's just trying to fuck with people.
You would think. But
that's what I would hope.
Two different apps. They had the same vibe. Or she had the same vibe. And it was just like listed like that. And it was like, are you abstinent first and foremost if you're sitting on people's faces? I think probably not.
No.
But yeah, it was crazy. I think that sort of thing bothers me. I also have opinions about like people who demand things in their profiles about just like, I don't know, people who demand, and probably it's similar for women as well, like people who demand tradition.
It's very weird. It's also just like, it's not even so much like, I think like, you know, people who want the white picket fence life and I want to stay home with my kids while my husband works. And that's there's a way to explain that and talk about that and want that in a way that's like, oh, cool. And then there's a way to be like, say it. You're using all the words that it seems like you want this for some weird reason.
Totally.
And it feels really sketchy.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think especially for men, like as I looking at a man's profile, if they're demanding it, I feel like it's even weirder than a woman demanding it.
Yeah.
You know, but like you said, there's a way to say it. Like if that's what you want, if that's your thing, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But like it feels as though they put it on there as a condemnation of like everyone else.
Yeah. It feels like they're making like, cause that was always another thing like, as I make dating TikToks where it's like, when people talk as though they're speaking on behalf of their entire gender versus me, totally. Like, it's like, why do, like, because you'll hear it sometimes, like, why do we women always have to, like, approach the men nowadays? It's like, let's start with, like, you, like, I, why do I feel like I always have to be the one to approach? Like, why are we, like, why are you dragging me into this? Like, why are we making this a gender debate when it's just your own hang up? Like, I don't know.
That's a great point. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I feel like, I had a follow up to that, and then you made such a good point that it wiped my memory. Yeah, I think, cut this out maybe, but that's a great point. Here's what I was going to say. I feel like on TikTok my algorithm sometimes gets in this loop of like women not unjustifiably like lamenting about how bad the dating scene is right now. And the comments are always like, you'd find a man if you weren't a feminist, which I think is insane.
Yeah. Because a lot of the things too, it's like the things that the people are saying, it's kind of like they're kind of saying they want like a traditional thing, like, oh, like his guy didn't pay and stuff. It's like, I don't think she said anything. Like, it's just it's just weird. Like, why are you dragging a political thing?
You're like making this political, and this person is like, man, I'd really like to meet someone I like. And it's like, maybe if you didn't work, you'd would. And it's like, wait, what?
Yeah. Like, it's like, where did that come from? Like, because I'll get like weird comments out of like left field. And it's just like, where did this come from? Totally. It was like. I don't know. Like, and that's why I'm also just like, something I've also realized is like, sometimes these people are children that are commenting for this. Sure. Like, it's like a little kid and they're just like saying whatever buzzword they've just heard. And like,
that's
you know, like
crazy
little kids. It's like, you know, they hear things like, oh, you know, their teachers are women and they're putting them in detention and stuff. So they've got an axe to grind. It's like, you know, I don't listen to children. Like any other place, if a child came up to me and started like screaming at me, I would be like, go sit and time out. And here I am, be like, here we are, like, oh, the children are speaking. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I will say, and this is maybe a hot take, like I said, when it comes to dating, my algorithm is mostly women complaining about dating. Every so often you'll get like a really nice little love story. I do want to say that everyone is saying that it's bad, that the dating, it's bad. Which statistically is impossible. Mm-hmm. For some of you, the call is coming from inside the house, and I need you to know that for some of you, it is 100% your fault.
Yeah, it's also a choice to use it. Like, no one's being like, this is...
Right.
You know, some, like, I was never a dating app person because I have a personality. Like, I need people to know what this before... Sure. That's they would funny. I would need that, like, I would, because what would happen, like, a thing I would run into is I would be on dates and like my digital baseball card, I can clean up well and look, you know, but then, you know, I would get comfortable and I would start just, you know, being silly. And like, I feel like, you know, after that kind of date three mark where it's like, oh, like, you know, like, let's do something a little more casual, like let's go on a walk, and like I would feel like I was finally like opening up, and it was kind of like, whoa, you're too much. And it was like,
sure.
Which is why it's like, oh, you know, I met my boyfriend on TikTok, and it was like, he knew exactly what, like, I'm yelling at a computer. That is a freaking crazy thing to do.
Yeah.
But like, that was like it makes it easier to like, you know, I could not use like a dating app with just pictures because it just wasn't the channel that worked for me.
Totally. And that is one thing that I try to do because I was off the dating apps for a long time, but then I'm very careful about meeting people during things that I do because I don't want to like mess up those spaces.
Don't shit where you eat.
Exactly. But then it's like, how else do you meet people?
Yeah.
I don't drink anymore, so I'm not like going out to bars. So it's like, yeah, there's a lot of like beautiful women in my yoga class, but I don't want to like ask one of them out and go on three dates and then have it be, I don't want to ruin that space for myself. So then I got back on the dating apps. And one thing I really try and do is like be funny in my prompts, like show a genuine personality. I think one thing that is so tough is when someone like doesn't answer those prompts with any sort of like anything where it's just like The Office. And it's like, dude,
millennial memes, just like every, like all of it, pineapple and pizza.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It drives me crazy. It's like, I mean, it doesn't matter because I just won't swipe on those people. But like it is, I feel bad because then those people are like, why can't I meet anyone? And it's like, well, you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything.
Yeah. And I think it's also like, yeah, people do use dating apps as a crutch, I think, because,
totally.
You know, it's like, why don't people approach? It's like, these people are using the dating apps as a crutch. Like, it hurts to go up to someone and have to see them be like, oh, you know, no.
Yeah.
And be rejected. Or, you know, there is the fear of, because people are like, oh, like, why don't people approach anyone anymore? Like, is the cold approach gone? I also think the warm approach is, I think it's, dating apps haven't hurt the cold approach as much as they've hurt the warm approach. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, back in the day, it was very, like, people weren't going up to in the grocery store, like, going up to people and saying, like, will you go on a date with me? Like, that's always been a rare thing. Like, those are always, like, you know, those fluke, once in a blue moon situations, like, the stars align just right. Like, people were meeting through school and friends and things like that. Yeah. And it was kind of like a, you know, do I ruin this thing? Like, do I have to switch times for my yoga class? Do I have to start going to the other gym across the street?
Right,
like,
right.
That was like a song and dance that was just part of dating, I feel like, back in the day. And like, there were certain people that were worth risking things for. And then some weren't, or things would just blow up in your face. Like, you get a new job. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't mean to suggest that if I was like truly blown away by someone in my circle that I wouldn't ask them out. But I also think one thing that I try to be really cognizant of is like, allowing women to exist without being like a product of what I want from them. You know, like I want to meet someone, I want to fall in love. That is like, I am looking for that, but I also want to be mindful that this woman is here to like do yoga or something without being sexualized, for lack of a better term, or like objectified or whatever. So that, I mean, I rarely approach people in public because also, this woman is just at a museum and probably doesn't want to, you know, there's a huge possibility that she doesn't want to be approached.
Totally. And I think that is one thing that's good about the dating apps is people are raising their hand saying like, you know, I want people to talk to me. Like no one's like, unless you're going to one of those like singles events, you know, they might be there for a different reason. Like they might just like really not want to be, like some days it's just like, I don't want to talk to anybody. Yeah. Like I'm here at this museum because my day sucks and I want to look at some pretty pictures. Totally. Like, what the fuck? But like,
yeah,
it's like,
I think guys need to be more respectful when they do approach, and women probably need to be like warmer.
Yeah.
You know,
I think because it's like less of a thing, because I'm sure like if it was something that was happening more because there was no dating apps, it would be sort of a, like we would be socialized to do it more. It'd be like, oh, you know, like never, no, thank you. Versus now it's like, oh my God. Like,
I mean, but fair also. Like, yeah. I don't mean to tell, I want to backtrack a little bit. I don't want to tell women how to react when a guy is asking them out. I mean, react however you want to react, you know. But I do, I mean, I fortunately have never had like a harsh reaction to asking someone out. Mm-hmm. But I probably do it in a way that is more chill and respectful than a lot of people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like, like you said, it's hard. It's hard, hard to like...
The world's a strange place nowadays. It's like, it's just such a, you know, the things that solve the problems also create new ones along the way. It's like dating apps design was, you know, like it sucks to be rejected. Like you don't get to see people reject you.
Yeah.
It's kind of, that's nice. Like,
yeah,
it's like, you don't have to, but then it's also, you know, then they become a crutch. Cause it's like, oh, you know, I'm not going to approach. Why? Like you see people at bars, like swiping on their dating apps. It's like, this is 3D Tinder right here.
Totally.
And it's just like, that's funny. Yeah. What do you do? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I dating apps are one thing that I found was like, anytime I would be like, hey, how's your day? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't get a message back.
Yeah.
But if I was like, I have horrible news, they would be like, what is it? I'm like, we're going to fall in love. And it's like, okay, great. But it's like, how do you, you don't get a response unless you're doing something insane.
I mean, that's like the news now. It's like, you don't get anyone looking at your articles unless you clickbait them.
Right.
Sometimes
right.
It feels
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. So I guess to go back to openers, like, you know, how's your day is boring. It's also just like, you know, it kind of, I feel like you almost like need a question that's just going to like, you know, easier to answer. I feel like yeah. it's like, oh, you know, what direction is this going to go? Like, you know, I don't know if it's like a this or that or something like that, but also you don't want to be, you know, something too crazy or like
copy
force people, or like bait and switch people or yeah. something. What is a good, what are good openers that have gotten good responses?
So Bumble now, I don't know if you know, has like pre, you can write of like, mm-hmm. you have to answer this question in order mm-hmm. for us to talk. And so I have a couple of those. One of them is, would you rather be able to teleport but only stay for an hour or fly at the pace you walk? And that's always interesting.
What? That's a good question. Yeah. What's your answer to that?
Teleport. Everyone except for one person has answered teleport.
Yeah, because it's, well, it's like, I'm trying to think of like what the value of flying but at the pace I walk.
Yeah.
I
can walk pretty fast. Although one woman was like, I don't need to be hovering over the Atlantic Ocean for 3 weeks as I walk to Europe.
And
I was
exactly. Like anything it would be useful for, it would take a long time.
Yeah. One person I was like, maybe you pick fly, I pick teleport. I can get us there and then you can fly us around.
Yeah.
You know,
it's also just like places for like an hour. It's like, I don't know. Like, I get tired quickly. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one that I have is, what is something that happened to you recently or that you learned that blew your mind?
What kind of answers do you get for that? What are good answers to that question?
I got a one that was so good, and now I can't remember what it was. I can't remember. Most people answer the teleport one because it's pretty cut and dry. Mm-hmm. For the other one, my hope was that people would be like, oh, I ran into like my long lost brother at the airport the other day, and that like can That's start dumb. Like a conversation. But most people answer. One thing that does bother me about dating apps is when you answer people's prompts and they don't, and it's weird mm-hmm. to them. Like they treat it. Has that ever happened to you?
I think it would. Like it was like, oh, this person had like a cool thing that they wanted to know, and then I gave them the answer. It's like, you don't like, your vibe isn't matching the right. energy at first. Right. Like, did you cast this off to your fun friend? Like, who's that? Who's the fun friend that wrote this profile for you? I'd rather talk to him. Like,
totally. Like I matched with this one woman, and it was like, open with something that makes me know that you read my bio, which I think is fair.
Yeah.
And so I did. And then she sent me back like 3 question marks. And I was like, I'm directly quoting your bio. What do you?
I feel like, but I'm also like, there's a red flag in there where it's just like acknowledging like, oh, like anyone who's like miserable, who has to be like, oh, like I'm here on the dating apps.
Totally.
It's like, we're all like, you know, everyone's here. Like anyone who's like acts like, you know, like, oh, like I'm too good for the dating apps yeah. is always like, those are always like the worst people.
Totally. And then there was another one that was like, I love a paradox. And so I was like, oh, I like the Fermi paradox is something that I think is insane. Mm-hmm. Which, do you know the Fermi paradox?
Yes.
Okay.
Or no, wait, no, I don't. Okay, sorry.
I think it, and I could be completely wrong, but it's like the idea that, oh fuck, I'm going to look like a dumbass now, but
I'll look 10 times dumber than you. I thought you said, like, do you know what the term paradox is? I'm like, yeah, I know what a paradox is. And I'm like,
do you know
no.
what the term paradox is? Oh. Can you believe I'm single? I'm just like, I don't. The Fermi paradox is basically like, if from what we know about intelligent life, it is unlikely that that intelligent life exists because they likely would have destroyed themselves. So either mm-hmm. they're so far past us or something like that. It basically suggests that we're mm-hmm. alone in mm-hmm. the universe no matter what. And she was like, I don't know what that is. I had to Google it, which is fine.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, so you're more of like a jumbo shrimp type paradox. And she was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, so what do you mean? What do you mean by paradox? And she didn't respond. It's crazy.
I don't know. I feel like sometimes it's like people trying to be fake interesting. That's always the problem. And then it's like someone came, they took the interesting bait and then you couldn't live up to it.
That's fair. Yeah.
I don't know. What from your perspective, what are like, if there's any like either, you know, responses to prompts and profiles or openers or responses to openers that were really like, oh, you know, I kind of like that. Like what seems fun and positive, like coming from women?
To be honest, I know what bothers me more than I know like what I like. I think for me, I really struggle having a conversation like 2 hours apart. Like I would rather us talk for 25 minutes consistently and then not talk for a while. Mm-hmm. It's like, just talk enough to set up that first date. Mm-hmm. I think it's so hard to get a conversation going when it's like you respond and then 3 hours later they respond. And then you're like, do I wait 3 hours? Do I not wait?
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing that I have started to look for, are just like fun people, people who are fun, not in like a crazy way, but people who like are quick to joke or quick to laugh or quick to be easy. I'm like looking for someone who is like empathetic and kind and like just easy going and easy to be around. Because like you said, like, you know, times are insane and I am looking for someone who is, makes the time, the insane times more palatable, you know?
No, absolutely.
One thing I did want to say on that is like, I think a lot of times, and I was guilty of this for a long time, is like trying to figure out who I needed to be in order to be not single. And it got me in some bad relationships and because I wasn't being myself. And so my advice to anyone, and I'm single, so take this with a grain of salt, it's not working for me, is like, just be yourself, be like unapologetically yourself, and you will find someone who likes you for you, as opposed to like liking your representative.
Yeah, absolutely. Cause you have to fake, then you have to fake it. If it, even if it does work out, you gotta fake it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It sucks.
Yeah. Like
we all know people like,
yeah, you have to be on the rest of your life. Yeah. Yeah. Your entire life's a job.
Totally.
But yeah, like, yeah, being yourself. And like, I think, but then you find the right person. Like maybe it's sort of like, you know, finding the right person means like, you know, weeding out the wrong people and more quickly.
Definitely.
So when you, so we talked about like dating app conversations, when you actually go on the date, what are, especially like as someone who doesn't drink and stuff, like, I feel like it's such a cliche date is like, let's go get drinks. Like, what are your favorite like date ideas? Like everyone always wants to know good, like sober date ideas and stuff.
Totally.
Like that.
I mean, usually I still end up being like, let's go just grab a quick drink because it's the first date for me. And I think you feel this way, is like, we're just seeing if we vibe.
Yeah.
If we vibe and we end up hanging out for a long time, that's great. But like hour and a half, we're just feeling each other out to be like, are we interested in the prospect of getting to know each other more? So I like to keep it pretty simple on a first date. Coffee, drink, maybe a light bite. But like, yeah, a lot of people in LA want to go for a hike. And I love hiking. But it's like, I'm not trying to lock myself to you for 3 hours in the wilderness.
Yeah.
We don't know each other.
Exactly. Yeah, she could murder you.
She could murder me. And I'm tiny. I know I look big on camera, but I'm tiny. I'm microscopic.
Also, like, no one wants to, like, fall or, like, step on a rattlesnake or something.
I feel like that's a good one. I think second date, third date is where, like, I would go for, like,
activities.
Let's go to the museum or, like, let's grab a bite and go check out this thing. Or show someone a restaurant that I really like. And I think without being, you don't want to put people through tests, but I think that it's fun to like, I'm going to show you something I really like.
Yeah. How do they
maybe telling you that I really like it and just see how you react, you know?
Nice. Have you ever, what are some tests you've done?
I don't do that. I don't know why I'm saying I do. Like,
and I don't mean it like that, but like, you know, how have people reacted when you've brought people to things you like and how has it swayed things one way or the other?
I don't date all that often, so it hasn't really gotten that far. But like, there's this Thai restaurant in LA that is so good. And I have been like, you want to go check out this Thai restaurant? And people be like, oh, I don't really like Thai food. And I'm like, okay, well you're out.
Yeah.
No, not that serious.
Can you date somebody who dislikes your favorite food or favorite style of food?
It depends. It depends on, I think what I would look for is like their attitude towards it as opposed to like whether or not they like it. Yeah. I would be more interested if they like look at people as less than for liking that thing as opposed to just being like, yeah, I just can't get into it.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that makes sense. That's a perfect answer. Okay. So to pivot to go into another question I've got. Okay. Is it true that men don't get the ick? Because everyone talks about the ick. The ick is a phenomenon all over TikTok. Oh, here's my icks.
Totally.
He jumped over a puddle. He just did this thing. And it's like, what is this? And it's so funny because I think, I also think that it's sort of become a thing and become this very catchy thing where I'm almost like, I don't know if that's the ick. But then of course, like, I think men are kind of like very much like, I don't get the ick. Like, you know, it takes a lot to, you know, once you're attracted to someone to lose that attraction, or it's like they do something like actually bad. That's like would be a turn off if anyone did it.
Totally. Yeah. I think I have gotten the ick, but I do think I also for sure in the past, although this is something that I've like kind of worked through if I like someone, I'm like, I would be like, I would justify away nearly any behavior.
Yeah.
Which is bad. And yeah. It's bad. It's really bad. And you'll learn more about that tonight. But yeah, it's, I am more, I have gotten the ick, but like you said, it's more because of something they did or said where I was like, mm-hmm. holy shit.
Yeah.
I do think the ick mentality is insane.
Yes.
But I also feel like if you don't like me enough to think how I jump over a puddle is like fun and endearing, then like we're not.
Yeah.
If you're going to get the ick, then that's fine.
Yeah.
You know.
And like some of it, I'm just like, it's just the ick phenomenon gets a lot of views. Like I'm like, how much of this is really happening? Like I think there was a TikTok not too long ago where it was a girl who was like, this guy stood me up, and she's like showing a map of like where this coffee shop was, and she's like, ah, and then someone calls out, they're like, it's fake. This is an ad for this coffee shop. Because she's showing the map and stuff. And it was like a big TikToker. It's like, this is totally like a stealthy brand deal. Like the text message, like it wasn't actually, like this isn't a real text message. This is her texting herself and all of this stuff. And it was like, because all these like ick things, like people love these like crazy, crazy date stories. It's like, how many of these things are actually really, really totally. Happening in real life? And versus, or are we just like is everyone getting up in arms because someone made up a cool story because right. they wanted to get some followers?
As someone who does that, like, niche of TikTok, do you find that overall dating TikTok is more helpful or more harmful?
Oh gosh, that's a loaded question. I think the dating coach, the TikTok dating coach thing is, I think that's harmful just because uh-huh. like that specifically is people that are selling themselves as coaches, which they're basically setting themselves up to like LARP as a mental health professional. Like right. I'm going to help you with be your dating coach, hold your hand as you go about dating and stuff. Like I would be fine with if there's like a, you know, professional therapist who you know, colloquially calls himself a dating coach because they like working with single young adults. That's one thing. But this kind of coach phenomenon where they're like, oh yeah, like I'm a coach. Anyone can call themselves a coach. You know, just basically selling people's insecurities back to them, convincing right. them they need something that they don't need, you know, telling them to kind of behave in ways that are very strange because they're using these buzzwords to sell stuff. And it's like, this is just making, like, if anyone goes into a room and says, like, I'm a high value man, I want a high value woman, people are like, are you like a organ trafficker or something? It's so crazy. It's very weird.
What does
like,
that even mean?
Exactly. Yeah. It's a buzzword that makes it, but it's a buzzword that makes people be like, oh, like, am I missing something? I don't know what this word means. Like this totally. Person with the polished house and that they rented, like one of those like dating coach types, like they got called out for like renting, doing things in an Airbnb, like renting it for a day and making it look like their house.
That's funny.
It's just so griftery. And I think that is, I don't know. And I think people kind of doing like the day in my life date stuff, yeah. those, and I have a lot like the ones that do seem genuine, like I've gotten to know people who make content like that, and many of them seem like very sweet, genuine people who want to meet somebody who, you know, think they're being creative. I think the problem with it though is like, you know, that people are consuming their, you now have an, there's a third person involved in your dating life now.
Right.
It's not just you and the other person. It's an audience of people who are watching you to be entertained. They don't yeah. have your best interest in mind. You know, they're going to cheer for you to do the thing that's most exciting, like it's a reality TV show versus what's the healthiest thing for you. Oh, like wow. they don't care yeah. about you. And so I think, you know, people, you know, have been egged on to pursue bad relationships for the story, because, you know, there's a reason maybe they're vulnerable and posting about their dating life on TikTok, you know, versus like calling a friend or something. Like maybe there's something going on there. So I think that can be kind of dangerous. I think there's nothing wrong with like talking about dating or being like self-aware and being fun. You know, like trying to find, like, I love when people do skits. Like yeah. I love a good skit. I love a good, like, you know, kind of pointing out like everyone's apps all look the same or stuff totally. Like that. Or just kind of the jokey things that, you know, people haven't really joked about because it's so new. I think those yeah. are fun, but like, yeah, the coaching and then, you know, people's dating lives becoming entertainment and being pushed to make decisions maybe they wouldn't make. I don't know that I love that.
Yeah. I feel like that has become more of a thing too of like, I mean, at the end of the day that someone, it benefits those people to stay single
mm-hmm.
or, you know, as you're a content creator, like it is hard to consistently have content ideas. Like mm-hmm. it is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
And like, I know that in the last couple months there have been like dating TikTokers where it was like, that didn't happen. Like, yeah. like you said, like the coffee story or whatever, but on the dating side, I don't remember their name, but like how often are they just fabricating stories to like get views and that sort of thing? I think that's such an interesting thing that you brought up.
Yeah. And some of them too, like some of the ones where it's like, you can tell it's a skit, but like they keep it boring. It's like, I think there's funny skits and then there are skits that like get people angry and like make people believe that a crime or something very sketchy is taking place. Like, you know, woman at the end of a date, like, oh, like, you know, I'm going to follow you home. Like, oh, we're not going to sleep together. Like, I guess you're paying your half of the bill. And it just feels a little too on the nose. Like she just, you know, and then you go like find the YouTube or you go like scroll down the profile, you go to the Instagram. It's like, she made a skit with her boyfriend and just was trying, and like, you know, this like, oh man, oh my gosh, this man. And like, and I think that's just like, it brings out like a very, you know, scary culture. It gets people scared. Like, you know, even it, I think it just, it, you know, gets a group of people like, you know, kind of that scary incel crowd, like amplified. And it's just, it's, I think that's really harmful.
Totally. Yeah. I agree. I think that's one reason I like your stuff so much is like, you are so, like, data driven in a fun way, but also like clear, and like the dating versus talking thing I think is so fun. And but I agree. Sometimes I'm like, man, this doesn't feel like it's helping anyone to be like, how many times can I hear a story of someone cheating on their spouse before I'm like, I guess I'll just be single because I don't experience that, which is like statistically speaking.
Oh, for sure.
Most people don't.
And I also think there's also like, I don't know if you've noticed this, like kind of this weird, I don't know, like this out, like the big outrage culture. Like I think there was, and you see them sometimes where it's like women, a lot of times it's women. Like I just feel like for, you know, for whatever reason, like men doing this, it wouldn't land in the same way. Like I think, you know, women, you know, very community driven on the internet, but there was like one, and this has happened with like other situations where, you know, woman filming a guy, like, you know, talking to a woman on an airplane, like if this is your husband, like he's flirting with it, with this person, and you know, everyone's like, it's 20 million views. Like people, I found the way they go find this woman. It's not even her husband. They're calling this woman's work. They're calling the wrong guy. Cause he looked like your average white guy.
Interesting.
So it's just like how many people's like lives are getting messed up. Also, even if it was the right person, for me personally, if you know, my boyfriend was secretly a horrible person who was cheating on me and doing all these crazy things, like if someone made a TikTok about it and was like, oh, Charlie, you're like, your boyfriend's evil, blah, 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 and like was just like, you know, going crazy like that, I'm like, that's not what a friend would do. It's like, like that's, you know, that
there are ways to do
not
it
only that. Am I like, would I be discovering something terrible, like you're embarrassed, the whole world has to know, and like I can't process this in private, like what the hell. Like,
it sucks.
Yeah
it's interesting.
Yeah Oh, I didn't mean to get too depressing there. But
no, you didn't. You didn't at all.
TikTok is such an interesting phenomenon. Wait, so what are other things that pop up for you on dating TikToks? Like, you, does that, okay, I feel like, and I don't know if how much, but you know, you see guys where it's like, I would never date a woman with a public profile. And I could totally respect that. Like, it's not for everybody, but you know, this fear, maybe this fear of being, and probably irrational, like, this wouldn't be at anyone, but like, just being posted about, or like having story time, like, you know, anything goes wrong, you're a side character in someone's story.
I every so often I will see that where like someone on their dating profile will be like, I'm only interested in guys who don't have social media. Mm-hmm. And I think it stems from a place of insecurity, or for men and women, of like I won't date a woman who has a public profile. And it's like, because then like a guy will like her photo and they'll cheat, like she'll cheat on me. And it's like, well, do you really think that like holding something so tight, like kind of a prisoner adjacent is like healthy? Like, do you think that is the answer, is to be like, if she wants to cheat on you, if she's so close to cheating on you that someone liking a picture of her in a bikini is gonna like spark something, then she's just not who you want to be dating.
Exactly.
Why do you want to be dating that person?
Yeah.
And similarly, you know, I think it's like a guy not having social media is not going to make him less promiscuous, and a guy having social media is not going to make him more promiscuous.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, if a person is that type of person, they're going to act how they're going to act.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but like holding them in and closing them in and boxing them off is not going to stop them from doing that.
Yeah. And there's also just the flip side that just brought me of a funny but also scary memory. Like years ago when I was like on dating apps, there was a guy, he didn't have social media. I'm like, oh, cool. Doesn't have social media. Cool. And then I find out, because I would always Google people. He went by his middle name. When I like learned his first name, I think he was like showing an ID somewhere. And I was like, I should probably like look him up. he was on trial for rape, and like, or he had been on trial for rape. So he like deleted social media so that he could like not like incriminate himself or anything like that. And so I was like, oh, like no. So like, and I was all in my mind too. I'm like, oh, like he's in real estate, like probably working for friend, like I think a friend's like real estate company or something. Like realtors are usually on social media in a way that's like weirdly annoying, but it's just for work. But I'm like, oh, no social media. And then I'm like, oh, you know, there's,
did you call him out or did you just ghost?
So I ghosted. Fair. I've told that. I think I've like, totally I'm very like, I'm very quiet on like personal stuff, but I think that story is just so insane because he wasn't just on trial for rape. 4 years later, he was convicted of this. He took an Uber to his ex-girlfriend's house and broke in and beat up her and her new boyfriend. Like he's also dumb. He took an Uber to do that, and he went to jail for like a month or something.
Only a month.
Yeah, I know. It was, I guess, like because he wasn't convicted of the. It was like a college thing, but he was on trial for it. It was like a thing at his school, like the newspapers and stuff. I was like,
Lord.
I'm like, oh, so there is crazy. There's also there's a flip side to that. Like,
yeah, I mean, it feels so weird to like complain about dating as a man ever, because there is not the possibility that I will be murdered.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you guys deal with all the same stuff we deal with. And then there's also the threat of violence.
Yeah. And I think that is like, I'm not a fan. Like, I think a lot of like behaviors, it's like anyone can be an asshole like and stuff, but it's like, there is a little bit of that double standard there.
In terms of what?
Oh, like double standard in a sense that like, you know, women being afraid of being attacked in a way totally. That like, you know, men, like I'm not a person where it's like, oh, it's okay if a woman does it, not okay if a man does it, except like I'm like, you know, I think it's a little more okay for a woman to be a little more scared.
1000%.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1000%. Which is why earlier I was like, you know, I don't, you know, I said women should be softer when a guy approaches them. I didn't like that. The reason I backtracked on that is because it's like, you should react if you feel unwell or unsafe, or like, if a, you know, you should react however the fuck you want to react. You know? But yeah, it's weird. It's, I can't imagine what you guys go through.
Yeah. Have you ever had like a date that you left and you felt sketchy, or like any sort of situation? Like, does that, cause I have heard of men where it's like, and I think the crazy stories you hear, usually it's like other men that are the culprit, where it's like, you know, men posing as women profiles, like, you know, scams obviously, but just like kind of sketchy stuff where it's like, it's not so much a woman but the illusion of a woman. Like, do men ever have like scary dating experiences?
I don't want to get into too much detail about it, but I had, a situation where someone wanted to meet up and was like kind of weird about it. And then I like kind of asked for more clarity on it. Mm. And they like just completely deleted their profile. Like, we were like set to meet up and I got a bad vibe and I was like, this sounds like a non-issue, but I'm not going into any detail about it. Uh-huh. But I think it was clear that it was like a couple that was going to like probably rob me or something like that. Because so it was sketchy. Like
weird place.
Yeah. Weird place. Wouldn't, they wanted. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I've heard stories like that where it's like, I've heard those where it's like, Yeah.
Can we just meet at this like coffee shop down the road? And they're like, no, we won't. Like, let's meet here and then go to the coffee shop. And it was like, why are you trying to get me in like a private area?
Yeah.
You know, it was weird.
That's so creepy. I was going back to the ick, cause I got an ick semi ick related question. Yes. Sorry. I love this is banter. Totally. Like,
and I would love your expertise on something. If it's okay, if I can ask a question.
Yeah, of course.
So here's my philosophy on like texting someone back.
Yes.
I will do it when I can.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes that's like right away. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not right away, but I'm always in my head that I text back too quickly. My philosophy about it is like, I text how I text. And if this turns someone off, then it turns someone off. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I really think like just you text when you have something to say. And like the second you start counting and keeping score is when people start when things start to feel weird. Like if you're like, if you're bored at work or like, you know, you're waiting on something to buffer and you're sitting at your computer and you've got your phone there and they're texting and you've got the time to text back, like do it. But also like if you've got to put your phone in a backpack because you're going to go, you know, paddle boarding on the lake for an hour and you're not going to be at your phone, like, you know, this person shouldn't freak out.
Totally. Totally. I mean, for me, my worry is always like, I'm going to seem over eager. Mm. And sometimes in their defense, I like really want to talk to a person. Mm. But also part of me is, it's a fine line, right? Because like someone who is unwell, don't take this advice, but it's like, you should text back how you want.
Exactly.
Right? And if it's not going to work for them, it's not going to work for them.
Yeah.
Unless you're a creep, in which case, get help.
Yeah. You know? I also think overeager isn't like pace driven as much as it is like context.
Oh.
So like when people are like, if someone's just texting back and it's like a normal, natural, like, oh, cool, they're texting back. Like when it starts getting weird is like, you know, they send the same text twice because sure. only an hour has passed by ? Or they like overeager is like, you know, they're getting ahead of themselves, or they're suggesting like, you know, a date idea or something I want to do, where it's like, you know, that's something I would do with someone I've been dating for 6 months. But like, totally. This feels like
totally love, like, love bomby.
Yeah. Well, I always like, would operate under the idea that like, I'm not that great. Like if anyone's like a little too excited to meet me or thinks I'm like this amazing person, especially if they don't even know me, it's like, what does this person want from me? Sure. Because like, if you like, it feels a little sketchy. Like there's some sort of like weird catch or fine print. If you're like that eager, like you need to hear from me, you want to see me so badly. Yeah. It's like, there's just, it seems a little bit like, you know, why do you need this so bad?
Totally. I actually, it's funny that you should mention that. I dated very briefly, like a dating coach. I'm mm-hmm. just remembering this now. Mm-hmm. And she was that way. And it ended up being like, this is not, because it was like, we don't know each other this well.
Yeah.
You're like, first and foremost, you're parading yourself as a mental health expert and you're clearly mm-hmm. kind of unwell.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And like you said, I'm confident enough to get on stage and do what I do, but there is an aspect of me that's like, I'm a catch, but like, I'm not, mm-hmm. I'm not that great. Like, back off.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, we can
yeah, no. And yeah. I think it's like overeager. It's like, if someone's just responding and it's like normal, natural, appropriate responses, it's like, oh, cool. Like that's fine. But like the second it's like, oh, we're going to go like make, you know, spaghetti, and then we're going to go like make gingerbread houses and all these things. It's like, whoa, like,
yeah,
no, I'm like, when can we meet now? Like, it's like the pushy,
sure.
like that's overeager. Like pace is like, you know, only a little, but it's not, I feel like is by itself is not a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good to know.
Is it a red flag if your date only pays in cash? 3 dates, one date over $200 has lots of cash in wallet. I think that was they called it Nick.
I don't know that it is necessarily bad, but I would want to know. I would want to know why.
Yes.
I would be like, where are you getting this? Why don't you want to be tracked? Like, why don't you want a footprint or something? But I feel like it's not necessarily inherently bad, but it is unusual. And I do think it warrants like an investigation.
Yeah. And I think that's where like a good like joke comes in, like, oh man, like
you just
win like, and like there's a fun, like not mean joke where it's just like, oh, like did you win at bunko night, or like, I don't know, like did you win bingo night or something? And like, you kind of wait for the answer. Cause like, I think it would be weird if they didn't have an answer, but like, you know, I've been selling a bunch of stuff on Facebook Marketplace. And it's just, you know, I've got cash. Why not use it? Or, you know, I'm a sovereign citizen. And then you're like, okay, like,
totally.
you gotta know if you're into that or not.
Right. Like, I also feel like them not acknowledging it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if I paid for a meal in all cash, I would be like, this is why I have so much cash.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like three times, no, like, to me, it's weirder that they're acting like it's normal.
Yeah. Because I think that's like a good theme, like in dating in general, is like self-awareness. Like,
yeah.
I would always appreciate, like, I wouldn't get a lot of like slide in the DM type things on Instagram, but like something I would always appreciate was just like, just sort of this opener of like, I know this is kind of a weird, like, I hope this isn't too pointed. I know this is weird, but it was kind of like, I kind of liked when it was, when it would be like that versus like a, you know, hello, just like, you know, popping in. It's like, where'd you come from? How'd you get here? Like, that's kind of self-awareness piece of just like, I know this kind of has a weird look to it. Here's this.
Yeah. On a DM slide, I will always be like, hey, I think you're great. Mm-hmm. I'd love to buy you a coffee. If this makes you uncomfortable, I'm sorry.
You know?
Because it's like you said, I'm invading their space and I don't want to make them uncomfortable.
Yeah. How is DM sliding? Because I feel like that, there's dating app, but there's also other digital ways to meet people.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, so if you're using social media to be creative, like, I think it can be a way better avenue than a dating app because it's a little more three-dimensional. Like, if you're a person with a personality, like, I would, you know, advise trying that. How has that worked, and what's the right way to do it?
I mean, I rarely do a DM slide. Uh-huh. I feel like maybe once every, I don't know, twice. twice a year, maybe three times a year. Mm-hmm. I might do a DM slide. I'm single, so again, it's
slide into his DMs.
It's not working. Well, yes, slide into my DMs, but also my DM method not working because I am single. I think I've maybe had a couple dates from it, but most of the time I get left on red, which is fair.
Yeah. What types of people would you like go and seek to like DM slide? Would it be people like you saw on an explore page, or would it be you heard about them, or you knew they were performing or something, and you're like, oh hey, like I'll go find them? Or
yeah, mostly people I just think are like funny and cute. You know, it's not, I don't have like a big I don't have like a method or whatever, but I'm like, oh, I like your vibe, and we both live in LA and you're
nice.
Right, you know, if you're single, I'd like to get to know you.
Yeah. Have you ever shot your shot with a famous person?
Have I ever shot my shot with a famous person? No. Christopher Nolan gave me a dog poop bag one time though. That was pretty crazy.
What's the story there?
My dog was pooping and I searched my pockets and didn't have anything. And I was like, excuse me, sir, can I have a dog poop bag? Cause the guy was walking his dog. And then I was like, oh shit, that's Christopher Nolan. Uh-huh. But I had already said it and I probably wouldn't have asked him, but he was nice. He was like, yeah, of course. He gave me a dog poop bag. Ooh. It was his last one. And I was like, are you sure you're going to give me your last dog poop bag? And he's like, I'm confident he's not going to go. It was very nice.
That was very nice. What a gentleman.
Yeah.
In LA, do you feel like do you run into a lot of like other actor types and stuff like that? And is that a personality you are attracted to? Or are you kind of like, oh, you know, I want to have someone who's doing something different? Because I think there is like the, I don't love when people are like, oh, like, you know, I'm the social media person, so they can't have any social media or something like that, where it's like kind of like that. But I think there is something to be said for like, oh, you know, I want someone who does something different. Like, so it's not, I don't feel like I'm coming home and talking about work all the time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think primarily I have dated other actors in my life. I think something I'm looking for now is someone who is not an actor for a lot of reasons. The first and foremost, like we talked about, don't shit where you eat, that you like, there's always a chance that you're going to be on a project with someone that you've dated and it makes it weird. And I also like, you know, what I do is very unstable financially. And so I'm like, hey, if you're a doctor, that's great.
Yeah.
You know? But I also think it's a fine line. Like you have to date someone who, if you want to date someone who doesn't do it, they have to get it. They have to understand that it's like your thing. It's not not an office job. It's really hard to turn it off. Mm. Your brain is, or at least my brain is always like thinking about it, about bits or whatever.
Yeah. You're constantly on a job hunt. I feel like it's like always being on a job hunt versus, you know, I do a job hunt when I get laid off.
Right. Yeah. Nights and weekends are hard, you know? And there are times when people, especially like not necessarily in dating, but like finding a day job, where they'll be like, yeah, we totally, like there've been times where I'm interviewing for a day job and I'm like, hey, I need you to know that I have this other career and I'm going to choose that over this. I will, if I'm here, I will show up. I will work my ass off for you, but you need to know that like my career is elsewhere. Are you okay with that? And they're like, we think that's great. And then you're like, hey, I'm not coming in on Thursday cause I have an audition. And they're like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I told you, you know, and that happens every so often in dating where it's like, people will realize that like, I'm not going to be free every Friday. I'll probably be free one Friday a month. And that's can be hard for some people. For sure.
How do you like set that expectation? Is it something they just kind of have to naturally get?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I truly don't date all that often. I think it's people either think it's cool or they avoid it like the plague. Both are fair.
Yeah.
You know, if someone's like, I don't want to date an actor, I'm like, totally.
Totally.
1,000% understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How soon is too soon for someone to see one of your shows if you were going on a date with them? Like if you were on a date with someone and then they tell you, I got a ticket to your show, how would you feel?
Bad. This is a great example. I hope the person, maybe we'll get married and this will be a cute story, but I hope this doesn't freak this person out. I had a really great date on Monday. It was like maybe the first good date I've had in a long time. I've had just like a string of terrible dates. And we got a drink. We hung out for like 3 hours. It was so fun. She's so fun. And then she found my TikTok afterwards. And I had to like just be okay with that. Because she made a comment that I'm different on TikTok than I am in person. And I think that's true of me on stage as well. Like,
yeah.
I think when people see me on stage, that is an aspect of my personality, but it is not me as a person. Mm-hmm. And they can sometimes romanticize the stage version of you and not mm-hmm. the like human version of you. So I like to get people to get to know me first mm-hmm. and then maybe they can see me on stage. But I'm always wary when someone, and it does happen, someone will approach you after a show and be like, mm-hmm. do you want to go out? And I'm always kind of like, you know, mm-hmm. I maybe, mm-hmm. but you know,
how do you reject people? Like, what's your way of
oh, fuck you? No, I,
it's hard to reject people. So that's why yeah. I'm like, what's the right way to reject someone? And you're in those shoes.
I don't have to do it all that often. Most of the time it's people in the industry mm-hmm. and I'll say like, I'm so flattered,
you got but something
I'm
not, to blame. Yeah.
I'm not trying to date someone in the industry or, you know, and I genuinely, I usually reject from a place of honesty
yeah.
where it's like, I'm not looking for something right now, or I've just started to see someone and we're not exclusive, but I am excited about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how people, yeah. I don't know how people do it consistently. I would just feel like I would end up on a bunch of dates I didn't want to be on. Cause I would just be like, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you reject people? I'm waiting back in your single days.
I mean, I'm trying to think. Cause like, I wouldn't really get a pro. Like I feel like I was always bouncing around, like doing stuff and
yeah.
I don't know, leading my friends to see like Mr. Brightside. Like I was always just everywhere. I have ADHD. I feel like I would just kind of, you know, I would say, oh, like, you know, I'm so flattered, like, you know, but I'm not looking for something right now. Cause I'm just, it wouldn't necessarily be that there was anything wrong with the person. It was just like, you know, do I want to date with someone I met at this bar that totally. Tip it? And there's, I feel like totally. That's a bunch of college kids yeah. over there. I don't want to make assumptions, but like, you know, I don't need to be hanging out with a frat bro or something like that. Maybe yeah. that was an assumption on my part, but it's just like, you know, and maybe that's like a little bit of lack of self-awareness. Like, if I'm in the bar too, am I better than any of these people? But yeah. like kind of, you know, like, you know, who's really hanging out here? Like, or sometimes it would just be like, I'm not in the mood. And then I wouldn't think about it. Or I'd be drinking and like, I didn't have as good of a relationship with alcohol then. And
yeah,
you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, I usually go with like, oh, I'm seeing someone, even if it's mm-hmm. not true. I will say if you're going to reject someone, let them get their line out before you say you have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know, that's always tough.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, I think I have a boyfriend. And you're like, okay, I just needed directions.
Yeah. I've heard of people where it's like, they're like, yeah, they're like looking for directions or they're like, hey, like I'm trying to get my girl. And it's like, oh, like I have a boyfriend. It's like,
yeah.
Oh,
like, truly. Like the other day I in the show, there's one sketch where mm-hmm. I wear like a facial cleanse mask mm-hmm. and we bought a mask for a show and we got to the venue and it was like 5 minutes before we went on. And so mm-hmm. I gave it to my stage manager and she opened it and it was black, mm-hmm. which changes the joke. And so we had to scramble. And so I was getting ready for this tour and I was at the grocery store and they only had one type of mask. And I approached these two women and I was like, hey, this is so weird. I'm doing the show. I explained the whole situation. Mm-hmm. I was like, do you know what color this mask is? And they were like, we think, mm-hmm. you know, we think it's translucent. And I was like, perfect. And then I went around the aisle and I heard one of them go, was he hitting on us? And I was like, no, I need to know. Like, yeah, it was nice. Just funny. And be like, to approach two women, be like, you guys seem like you're a couple. How about a third? You know, like, it was just like, yeah.
Oh, such a, oh my gosh. I had the biggest ego bruise last night. I just have to like tell it. I think you would find it funny. We went to a concert last night, like just, you know, down South Austin, 49 is country.
Nice.
Very good. We're up at the front. Like Buddy and I are up front. Like there's other couples there. Like, you know, someone's like, oh, like, you know, we had to get a sitter tonight. And there's this girl like next to us and she's unbelievably sweet, probably 22. She's like, my date ditched me. I brought my best friend. We're having a night. And so we were like, everyone's singing. And she turns and looks, and she's like, you guys are pregnant. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Cause I was like, cause I don't know what I'm just like. And I'm like, fuck. Cause like, I don't know when I drink, I'm like, oh shoot. I have a little bit of a beer belly right now or something. I'm like, no, no, we're not. Like, and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't mean to. She's like, you guys, you know, you're just old. So I thought maybe, and I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, so I'm fat animal. Like, what?
That's
and
then crazy.
I was like, that is the biggest ego bruise ever. And like, I kind of felt bad for her because like she was clearly trying to be nice. Like I think yeah. she probably heard people be like, oh, we got the sitter. Like, I don't know if she knew who was who. Like it felt very like drunk girl in a bathroom trying to have fun because yeah. her date ditched her. So I like kind of felt bad. Like I was nice back to her, but yeah. I'm sure I feel like I've had like weird little like
totally.
Oopsie moments like when I was younger and I was just like, oh, like, but I was still just like, what an ego bruise. Like, I'm old and I look pregnant. Oh,
that's tough.
Yeah.
At no point did I think that you looked old or pregnant.
Well, thank you.
I want you to know that.
Thank you. Yeah. I would hope I don't. I was also holding a beer, but I was like, I'd be the worst pregnant lady ever.
Yeah. At some point you got to kind of read the signs.
Yeah.
She's drinking. I bet she's not pregnant.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah. I felt bad. I did feel bad for her. Like, if she seemed like she was genuinely trying to be fun. I mean,
you know.
Yeah.
An honest mistake.
Yeah.
I feel like I've done that for sure, where I'm like, hey, how, like, I, you know, you don't see someone for a while and you're like, how are things with so-and-so? And it's like,
we're not together anymore. Like, yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're coming to a close here.
Oh, wow.
We got to tease. Let's go back to the show tonight and the rest of the tour for a second. You've got your show tonight in Austin. What are your next dates, and then where else can people find you?
Yeah, definitely follow me on social media at George_C_Owens on Instagram and TikTok. Tonight I'm in Austin. Tomorrow I'm in Nashville. That's the 12th. The show in Chicago on the 14th is sold out. And then the final show of the tour is the 19th in New York City at Caveat. That is probably the last time I will perform the show. I'm putting it down, and I'm going to start to work on something new, I think. So
nice.
It's a bit of a farewell tour.
I love that.
So yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Do you work on new material as you're doing your current ones, or?
I kind of am, but like I committed to a show and I was like, oh, this will be a good opportunity. I'll just put up like a work in progress for this new show concept that I'm working on. And then it was like, it's in 10 weeks, four of which I'll be on tour, one of which I'll be on vacation. And then like my cousin's getting married and I was like, I don't know if I can do this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think I'm always kind of like, especially going to Fringe and seeing other people's shows and being like, oh my God, I didn't even know you could do a show like that. You're like always inspired by other people's work.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah. Like, I think, yeah, you can only go up from here.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right. I mean, I'm excited. It's fun. And I'm like a lifer. So.
Fantastic. Well, I'm so excited. I've never seen a one man show. I'm really excited. I will see you tonight.
Yeah.
And I can't thank you enough for being here. Everyone, you go see George's show if you're in one of those cities. Yeah. Thank you so much for being a fantastic guest. This was a great conversation.
So yeah.
I love learning about when people have a cool career. I just love that. And I love to like learn more. So this has been fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a blast.
Bye. Over and out.